So with that, I show that we're talking about these warnings from the Promised Land. One of my favorite movies growing up, and if I'm just honest, it's still one of my favorite movies, is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? And, you know, you got Charlie and Chocolate Factory, but this Willy Wonka one, and it's, no offense, but Johnny Depp, that one's just, no. Sure, there's a lot there, but anyways, at the end of this one, the first one, Willy Wonka says, Charlie, you know what happened to the man that got everything he ever wanted, don't you? And he goes, no, what? He lived happily ever after. I'm here to tell you that's actually not true. And what we see in the people that went into the Promised Land is they got this beautiful land flowing with milk and honey, and they lost track of who gave it to them. So when you get all that you want, you have a tendency to think you're kind of a bee's knees. And so, speaking of bees, be careful when you get what you want. A man asked a long time ago, if all of your prayers were answered, whose life would be most impacted? You or others? And that's convicting. That's humbling. And so with that, I want to talk about some warnings, and I want to get right to it. When you get what you want from God, when you get what you're asking for, especially if it's for his kingdom and his rule and his reign, it's no time to slack. It's time to just stay with him. Let's go to Joshua 5, and we'll go 14. It's a little bit of a recap from last week, but then it goes right into yet again, a humility before the Lord God. So you might know this, that the Israelites crossed the Jordan. It's unbelievably miraculous. 20 miles away, the river piles up at flood stage. Everybody can see it. Everybody's freaked out. God's like, hey, great time for my people to love me and obey me and to honor me. Let's go ahead and circumcise all of the males who didn't get circumcised. Wait a minute, that's your army? Yep, I want you to do that. I want you to trust me. And they did, and they honored him. And then after that recovery time, you can talk to Casey. He's smart. He's a professional. If you need to have the idea of what circumcision is explained, Casey Hyam, right back there. Thanks, Casey. Appreciate you, bro. It's an elder. It's a good thing to explain. But after that happens, Joshua gets up, goes out, and he sees this yoked man with a sword who's not unlike anybody else. And he's like, hey, are you on our side or on our adversary's side? And this was his answer. He said, no, but I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. If you don't know, this is what's called a Christophany or a theophany. This is an appearance of Jesus before he came in the flesh. That wasn't a theophany or a Christophany. That was God incarnate. This is him showing up saying, I'm on the scene. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped him. And he said to him, well, what does my Lord say to his servant? Great move. You want to know who God is? And he shows up in your life, whether it's in your heart, you have a vision of him, you hear it in his word, circumstances happen, you know you're not God. This is what should happen. You should humble yourself and say, what do you want of me? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Also, really good move. Obey him when he says to you what to do. Want me to take my stand? Okay. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, here again, why I believe that this, like the holy ground, he's the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army. You can look that up. That's real too. But then it says, the Lord says to Joshua, when he asked him, what do you want us to do? He says, first of all, know who you're talking to. This place is holy. Get your sandals off. It's time. I'm going to talk to you. And this is what he says. See, I've given Jericho into your hand. with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. First you have us get circumcised and wait 2 weeks, and now you want us to march around. Hold on. No question here. He's just saying, this is what I want you to do. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of rams. 7's all over the place, by the way. God's biblical number of perfection or completion. It's like, I've got this. And watch what he says. They shall have trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Now on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. If you're not somebody who watches the History Channel or likes, you know, the War College type stuff, this is just not normal. But look at Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And then he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. I'm not about to unpack all of this, nor do I have time, but this was wildly odd when it came to ancient battle. Get close to where they can drop stuff on you and march around once a day, and then on the 7th day, do it 7 times. Joshua doesn't skip a beat, friends. He's like, okay, I know you're God and you're telling me what to do, so I'm in. How about you? I'll say it like this. So far, so good. He's doing well. I'll transfer to actually doing it. And this is important that we don't just hear God, talk about God, but we actually do what he says. There's a difference between that, right? Francis Chan says, when I ask my children to go up and clean their rooms, I don't ask them to talk about it. I don't ask them to get together with their groups and pray about it. I don't ask them to find the root word of clean to figure out what that really means. I'm calling them to do what I've called them to do. And that's what God says to us. And so they do. On the 7th day, verse 15, they rose early. I met with a dear friend that I hadn't seen in a year, probably closer to a year and a half. You know what she said to me? God's been saying a word to me. It's arise. She said he hasn't been saying awaken because that's what we're supposed to do. Although that's where some people have to start, but she said, unless you arise and go forth, your eyes are open, but you're doing nothing about it. Gosh, I was like, you sure you should be talking to me? Because I don't even know that I'm worthy to just get called out like that. And yet God loves us enough to call us out and to comfort us and encourage us and go with us. And so he says, do this. So they arise at the dawn of day and went forth. They marched around the city in the same manner 7 times on the 7th day. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute, go back and listen to last week if you didn't, or read through this with us, by the way. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction, and bring trouble upon it. Look, this is for God's glory. Do what he tells you to do. He's just giving them a warning, right? Let's go. We're going in. But all the silver and all the gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. We're going to use that later. So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout. And the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they captured the city. I'm giving you two bonus verses here. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. If you're freaked out about the violence of God, divine violence, please know that God is perfect and he's the same God in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. He still laid down his life. He took on all the violence on him ultimately. Why did this happen? Because he knew that his people needed to be separate and holy, because his people needed a place to live. He was setting apart a people for himself. And I totally don't know 100% why he would say, knock out the babies too. We talked about this on Think About It Thursday. Please go back and watch that on our app, on the website. If you're a YouTube person, you can find it there, or you can find it on Facebook. We didn't unpack everything in a half an hour, but there's a lot of things we talked about. And this is unsettling. It's disturbing. And God is good. There's a reason. He knows who you are before you're even born. He knows where you're going to end up. So I trust him, though sometimes it's weird. Okay, so this is all. He gives them the warning. They go in. They take care of business. They get it all taken care of. We get to the end of Joshua 6. So the Lord was with Joshua, it says in verse 27. And his fame was in all the land. Sounds great. Kind of reminds me in the story of creation. Everything was good. And then God said, except one thing. Sometimes when things are going super well, we really don't need to be unable to enjoy it, unable to rejoice in it, but we need to keep our eyes open. And here's a warning, and I got a bonus warning for you. But here it is. If you go with me to Numbers 32:23, this is back when Moses was leading the Israelites. He was the leader. He was alive. And he said to the 2.5 tribes that already had their land, look, when we get into the promised land and we got to take that over, you come with your bros and you help them. And don't forget that. Don't forget to honor the Lord. But if you will not do what you're supposed to do, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out. That's a grace from God, by the way, that your sin would find you out. He's like, I want you, and I mean it. There's a chance for you to repent. And so here's a bonus warning. Your sin will find you out. You're not hiding anything from God. To that point, Joshua 7:1. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. Remember, the gold and the silver and the bronze and everything was to be devoted to God. Some of it completely destroyed and some of it put in God's treasury. Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. But they didn't even know it. Hey friends, you are limited. I'm limited. We don't know sometimes. Sometimes there has to be consequences that come out. Sometimes somebody has to come out of the blue and say a word to you. And sometimes you're just reading the word, just do-do-do-do, and bam! Here's another point. Got a football family here. I love football. I coach football. Look, when one person on the football team is offside, you know what happens? He doesn't get moved 5 yards back. The whole entire team gets moved 5 yards back. When you throw a touchdown to a tight end, it doesn't say Hayden Murphy 6, King 0. It says Sultan Turk 6, King 0. It's the whole team. When one person did something that was wrong, it affected everybody. And when one person does something right, that affects everybody. What are you going to choose? What part do you want to be on there? So they're feeling good. They don't know that they've sinned. Well, one of them should know. The guy that had all of his clan and everything mentioned, God knew. And they're like, hey, this next little tiny place, some people call it AI, some people say I, we're going to go get them. He sends out 2 spies. They come back. Don't worry about this place. We're only going to need a few thousand warriors. It's easy pickings. They didn't check with the Lord. They just went for it. And they were defeated soundly. 36 people died. Look, God gave me a word this morning. And I'll say it like this before we get to the big warning that we have for today. Rely on Jesus for your big stuff. And rely on Jesus for your little stuff. I prayed isn't only about you and about God including you in something. Well, I prayed about it. What if somebody comes to you and says, look, I'm feeling better. And I just wanted to thank you for praying. And you can say, yeah, you know what, I prayed. But here's the cool thing. God included me in it. It wasn't about me praying. It was who I was talking to. We get to be a part of it. So the big and the little. So they get defeated. And Joshua, in verse 6, has a very appropriate response until he says a couple of things. But he's a human. Though he was a great leader, he wasn't perfect. He was a human. Then Joshua tore his clothes and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. All day he's on his face. He and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. This is a sign of grief, repentance, brokenness. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To give us into the hands of the Amorites? To destroy us? Does that sound familiar at all to anybody who's been following the story? He was the kind of dude that was faithful. Oh, God's so rad. We got this. And now he's like, why did you even help us get to this point at all? Just so we'll die? He didn't know. He's limited. Y'all, we need Jesus. Cool, we got like 2 amens. I'm going to tell you amen for all of you. Some of you are like, is he going to look at me if I say amen? God already knows you need him. I'm looking with you, not at you. Okay. Amen. It's the mask. I get it. All right, cool. Thanks, William. All right. Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. That wasn't where the promised land was. Would that we just kind of took what we got. Not what you're giving. That sounds familiar. I would much rather have what I accomplished. Because then I could say, look at me. You know, in the word, we find out that the wages of sin is death. That's what you and I earn on our own. The paycheck you and I get for doing our thing, our way, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What can I say? Oh Lord, when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies, like ran away, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? Like God's going, oh, what am I going to do? My people are a hot mess and nobody will like me. You need us, God. Joshua is forgetting God's faithfulness and how he showed him mercy so often. I want to remind you of the warning from last week. Remember this, God's on his side, not yours. It's for his glory, not yours. It's for his name and his renown. Now he wants us and he wants to include us. You plant, you water. That's cute. Good job. I'll make it grow. I gave you the seed. I gave you the water, but let's go. We'll work together on this. But he doesn't need you. Dear friend, he wants you. He chose you. He's about his glory, his holiness, not ours. I must move on. Verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they become devoted for destruction themselves. I'll be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Second time, verse 13, he says, get up. Quit crybabying about it. Quit negotiating with me that I would make something easier for you. Get up. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, for thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. Get up and repent. Achan had the chance to repent, by the way, multiple times. But he didn't. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes. Now, this is the time where I probably would have come forward and said, okay. Or would I? In the morning, before you'll come before me, brought near by your tribes, and the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans, and the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household that the Lord takes shall come near by man. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. Dear friends, God takes his holiness very seriously. And as we're about to find out, he takes sin dead seriously. So they bring everybody together. They bring them by tribe, by clan, by family, by household, and then it finally gets to this individual that we had already heard about, and his name is Achan. Verse 19 says this, Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, this Babylonian just fresh gear, and I saw 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. In two moves, right? Seeing them and taking them, he broke the 8th and the 10th commandments. He coveted, and therefore he stole. And see, they're hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. They go and find it, and then this is what happens. Verse 24. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor, which means trouble, by the way. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. Like, if you pay attention to that, you know what you find out? They stoned him once, burned him, and then threw stones on top of him again. Hey, God, we're serious too. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. This is a memorial to trouble. This is what happens. You can almost find a joke in there like, this is why we can't have nice things. But it's so much heavier than that. Sin is serious. And it causes trouble. It's fun for a minute or for a season. But then somebody has to pay the bill. And I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus, he paid your bill. Quit trying to run up debt. Come on now. Jesus had something to say that encapsulates super well the warning that we get from Achan. If you go with me to Luke 16, and I know that we don't have a ton of time, so I'm going to get there and I'm going to read it for you. Luke 16:10. It tells a parable, and it's kind of a funky parable. I'll let you go and read that. It's interesting and good. Obviously, anything God does is good. It's still kind of sometimes like, what? But verse 10 says this. Jesus says this. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who's dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Gosh, we're going to need Jesus. We're going to need his help. So I've heard this whole time, and my grandmother, God rest her soul, Carol Qualley, used to say, hey, two rules for you. Sometimes she'd call me Mijo. Sometimes she would call me grandson. Sometimes she'd call me Aaron. Sometimes she'd call me a name I'm not going to tell you. And so she looked at me and she goes, there's two rules for you. Don't sweat the small stuff. Second rule, it's all small. And I was like, oh, okay. I love my grandmother. But I think the warning that we get today is you better sweat the small stuff. You better take this serious. God's gracious and he'll forgive you. But I'm going to tell you right now, this man confessed his stuff and he still died. God was like, it is serious as a heart attack in a swimming pool in a lightning storm. Don't mess around with this. Don't. We can't mess with sin, and yet we play footsies with it, and it will mess with us. And so Jesus, right? All of the scriptures point to Jesus. Sometimes for us, the big, serious things of life are where we give the attention of trying to do the right thing. And then the little things, we make these consequences, or these, what's the right word I'm looking for? Compromise. Thank you. Compromise. We make these compromises in the little things. And then they stack up, friends, and they become big things. Sermon on the Mount. You've heard it said this. Well, I'm telling you, it starts inside. It starts with the little things. By the way, everything's little to God, so just bring it all to him. I want to unpack that more, but I have a way to end with this that I know that God has put on my heart. So let me give you this quick note. I don't know. I look to see who said it. Multiple people have said it. Nobody gets credit for it. We're sweating the small stuff. We're being faithful in the little things. It helps us with the big things. And it allows us to know that you and I aren't on a playground. We're on a battleground. One day we get to have just Felicity is the word, joy, no troubles. That ain't here yet. We have that in Christ. We have Shabbat Shalom in him now. But we'll have it around us for eternity when we're in his presence with nothing else here. We're not there yet, friends. We're on the battleground. Sweat the small stuff. Not your salvation. You can't earn that, but you have to walk it out. Arise and go forth in it. No small compromises. So I'm literally skipping so much. Please, if you've been reading along with us, you know there's some really cool things. One of the things that I'm skipping, one of the favorite things in the word that God has ever showed me, is that the tribe of Levi, all of the priests, they don't get an inheritance. But they actually do. They don't get the land and all of this. Their allotment, their inheritance, is God. And I used to think, they got ripped off. Oh, no. They had to rely on him in a way that nobody else did. And they got to see God show up. Anybody feel that today? They've just been at the end of their rope at some point. Like, only God's going to be able to come through for me. And he does. Who gets credit for that one? I mean, he should get credit for all of it. I told you that we skipped that part and I just brought it up. So there you go. And the Israelites don't destroy, chase out, wipe out, whatever, because both of those happen. They don't take all of the people in the promised land that weren't Israel. They don't take them all out. And so there's a problem there. They're a thorn in their side. Lots of stuff happens. That's where you got Goliath and you've got the Philistines and the Canaanites and all that. They weren't faithful. God knew this was going to happen, as a matter of fact. And he told them ahead of time, this is what happens when you cohabit with them. Don't take their gods. Don't take their wives. Don't be like them. He told them before they got in the promised land that this was going to happen. Oh, no, no, we'll do it. No, you won't. Let me finish with this. Joshua 24, 14 through 24. He gives them this big fat warning, Joshua that is, and he says it again. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, and they all died there, by the way, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You took them out because their gods are false gods. Your daddies died worshiping false gods. But if you want to worship those things, go ahead. He says, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that our households would serve you. In your name, amen. And the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it's the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. And who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way. And among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he's our God. Testify. Woo! Yeah! But Joshua says to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done good to you. And people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Yep, amen. Word, preach. Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. I think they meant it. And then within two generations, they fell away from the Lord in a massive way. More on that in the next 2 weeks. Let me ask you this morning, friends. What or who will you choose? William says, the Lord my God, please my family, keep me in check. Some of us would be like, okay. But some of us would be like, if I keep him in check, he might keep me in check. That's good. Let's help each other. Let's remind each other. Many of you have no fellowship outside of what's happening right here, right now, or online. Will you call somebody? Will you set something up this week? I choose the Lord. Help me to follow the Lord. Help me to know what's right and what's wrong and to choose what's right. Help me to recognize when I say I was going to do what's right and have gone away that God loves me enough that he sent his son, paid my price, and allows me to repent. I get to come back. Did Casey not just tell us about humility? That humility was bought at the price of not your blood, not your family's blood, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. In him we win. Let's walk that out. Let's encourage one another. Let's just take him at his word like he means it. Because he does. Look, you have a bunch of questions that you could go through. I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of this on the Live It Out video. I'll ask you the first question. You could take a picture of it. Thank you for putting that up, by the way. What are your reasons for obeying God? Do you not want to be punished? You don't want to look bad, or maybe even don't want to let him down. Or maybe, if you're being honest, you want something in return. Or maybe he's God, and he deserves your loving worship and obedience, and you're going to do that because he does, and you don't know how it's all going to work out, but you're going to take him at his word. Let's do that together. Let's do that in the small things. Let's do that in the big things. Let's know that it all gets taken care of as you fix your eyes on him. It's good news. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of his people. What can't you do? Father, thank you for that truth. Thank you for the opportunity for us to take you at your word and to walk that out, to share it, to be strong and courageous, to be contagious in our living and in our obedience and even in our repentance, that people would see, oh, I got to turn to the Lord. What a gift. May we see that. May we believe it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Love God, love others, and serve generously. You are paid for. Go for it.